Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kenny's back.
Morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Carmen is back after a week hiatus.
I hate being gone for a week. This is why I seldom take vacations, even though I'm eyeing one in June. Because you feel like a guest on your own show. Here we are.
I feel there are other times.
I listened to you guys a little bit, so I can't say.
You did.
I was totally out of the loop. Yeah, a little bit. I listened. What day was it? What the hell day was it? Was it Wednesday? Yeah, because Jason was in, and all of a sudden, it was amazing as I heard you like, hey, don't be that upset. Don't be that upset they got the number five pick. You can get some good players.
Yeah.
You got the Andre Hunter there. Jarrett Culver's a good player. And you were saying these good things, and then, I don't know, I tuned out for 10 minutes, and I got on Twitter, and it's, man, Lima is being a real jerk today. And I'm going, what happened? I asked you, and you said, well, I did call. Did you call fans dumb or stupid or something like that? You like to do that.
Well, the dumb fans I called dumb.
Ah, there you go. That always goes
I love
over
how,
well.
By the way, I love how that they're like, you can't be on the radio in Cleveland and call fans dumb. We're all the greatest fans in the world.
That's
and I'm
weird.
Like,
you do it every day.
I'm like, well, no, I will gladly do it. Because do you not call members of your own family dumb? Do you not call sometimes your wife or your husband dumb? But I'm not allowed to call Cleveland fans dumb. No, when you're being dumb, you're going to be called dumb. And there should be no problem with that. So I learned something over the last week.
All right.
And I don't know how we're going to approach it, and we're going to bring it up at some point.
Okay, we will.
Browns fans don't want the Browns and their methods to be talked about. They just want to talk about how they're going to win the division or go to the Super Bowl. And
that's true.
Baker's great.
Yes.
Like, you realize this is one of the most newsworthy teams in the NFL, and yet Browns fans don't think anything's newsworthy.
I know why. I'm not going to tell you right now because I'm not going to give away what I can sell. You want to do this later?
Yeah, sure.
Do this at 7? Because I don't want to give it to you now because then you can think about it for an hour and then you can hit me back on it. So I don't want to do that. I gotta get ready to debate you on this because I know that I have a theory behind it, even though it's not Thursday at 9:40. And I think that there's a very strong reason why we have that reaction. Why Browns fans have had that reaction to the national narrative and some of the stuff that's been said, even locally, some of the questioning that's gone on, those type of things.
Fans were dying for the Browns to be relevant. Well, guess what? Relevant teams get talked about. Everything they do gets talked about. We saw this. It's like you guys were living under a rock the last 4 years when the Cavs, every little thing the Cavs did was newsworthy, for good or for worse. And so the Browns are getting talked about everywhere. They are one of, in sports right now, the Cleveland Browns. Do we ever think this would be the case? Everything they do is getting analyzed.
I understand.
That's a good thing.
You're looking at the NBA, which does basically everything, even though, like, I would say ownership and general managers and things like, they try to keep it under wraps. They try to do that. But I think in the NBA, it's kind of encouraged. The worldwide Wests of the world, even though he's really not that much involved anymore from what it seems. But the back channels, the rumors, the innuendo, those type of things, that seems to be made a big deal in the NBA. Where in the NFL, everything is to be suppressed. Everything is to be quieted down. So I think people are used to it in the NBA. They're certainly used to it with LeBron. So I think that they got used to it with LeBron over 7 years, then the time in Miami, then when he was back. And then I think a little bit of you forget, and I'm talking about you, not of you, but you in particularly, that there were a lot of people over the last 2 years after the championship who were kind of tired of some of the drama. Now, I can't say I was, but there were a lot of people who were tired of the drama. So I think a little bit of you, and you're going to hate me saying this, I think a little bit of you over there is being a bit revisionist.
Well, wait, are Browns fans tired of the drama already?
No,
there's going to be drama. It's the NFL.
Yes,
your team's going to get talked about.
But again, everything is to be quieted down. Everything's to be under wraps in the NFL. We're in the NBA, that's kind of celebrated. All the rumor and innuendo is celebrated in the NBA. I think people are more apt to being used to that in the NBA and ready to deal with that in the NBA than they are in the NFL.
Every move the Patriots have done over the last 10 years is huge. Everything they do is huge. Every debate, if Tom Brady goes on the sidelines and gets into it with Josh McDaniels, that is a story on First Take the whole week.
But
guess what, Browns fans? That's coming your way.
And Patriots fans, anytime you ever have an opinion on that and one of the Patriots fans gets a hold on it, you are going to catch a lot of hell.
Well, because I have seen, they win.
I have seen, but what I understand that. But
they're going to defend themselves.
You're going to get the same strong reaction. Well, of course, then you're going to get the same strong reaction out of Browns.
But the Browns haven't won anything yet.
It doesn't matter. A fan base is going to want to defend itself. Well, the Browns didn't win anything for 20 years. The fan base was defending itself.
Exactly. All I'm saying is, get ready for it. You don't get to get the national TV games, get Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Myles Garrett, and then go, man, I wish our team wasn't covered. Well, that's not how it works.
I understand that.
So I guess just get used to it. Just don't be thin-skinned and don't get upset every time your team is talking about it.
I don't think any fan base, though, gets used to it. That's my theory. I don't think they're ever going to get used to it. There might be certain levels, but I think you're always going to get a strong reaction from anybody who was there. Can I tell you how the birth went?
Well, you did something that was alarming to me already. I'm already worried about this.
What did I do?
Well, Ken, congratulations. Lizzie, who put all the work in, had third boy. The name is...
Oh, I got to tell you, Jonah.
Yet...
I didn't pick it.
I have to say I'm a little alarmed.
What?
Kenny Kidd goes, well, what's the middle name? I'm not telling you.
I'm not telling you.
Well, who doesn't share
figure
that
out
information?
Figure it out on your own, right? I don't care.
Figure
I'm not telling
out.
You.
What, are we just supposed to play a guessing game
We're not
here?
Asking for a social security number.
I know how Kenny is about these sort of things, and that is
a name.
That's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow that.
You didn't go with Cyclops. You didn't go with
Nightcrawler or Magneto
or Wolverine or anything like that.
Storm got brought up one time. That's why I don't talk to you about names. It was a good experience. Our last time going through.
He was really excited for Storm when he brought that up.
Well, hold on.
I thought it might not be a bad name.
Well, you said hopefully. You know, you could do something about it.
I will eventually.
The power's in your hands.
I understand that. I will. I'm not afraid of that.
Or in
That's
someone's
okay.
scissors. That'll be in someone's hands.
Okay, well.
But you can get that taken care
of. I'm glad you really just went right through it. You painted no picture. You just shoved it right in everybody's face, didn't you?
That's
over there,
what he does.
A true wordsmith, aren't you?
What do you think he's still single?
No subtlety over there whatsoever. Like a punch in the face with you.
But you just left it up in the air like, hey, we might have one more.
No, I'm not having any more. We're done. I'm done. Liz is done.
For now.
It is such, it's a drag. And I told you guys this beforehand. And I'm sure it'll end up on Deadspin somehow. I understand the social norms. And I said, Kid put this out there in the open. I understand the social norms of the father being in the room. And the reasons behind it. I get all that. I'm just saying, for any practical purpose, there is no way on earth I have any business being in the delivery room for the birth of my own child. I have no business whatsoever. And honestly, other than the kid being in there and trying to comfort her the best I can, even though there's no way you can, because it's the worst pain imaginable. So there's really no way I could actually comfort her and be serious about it. I wish I really wasn't there. I really, really, really wish. I'm fine with the gore. I'm fine with all that. I didn't mind all three. I watched the whole thing happen, and it is truly awe-inspiring. Truly awe-inspiring. But if I just think about the practicality of the entire matter, it's just pointless for me to be in there. It really, truly is. And I know that our social norms have shifted, where now the father is expected to be in there, and that's fine. And I'll do that just so I don't get judged by sitting out in the family room or sitting out in the waiting room waiting on it. But I'm telling you, just for practical purposes, I had no business being in there. And honestly, I shouldn't have been in.
Well, it's not like people thought you were doing any heavy lifting. I mean, it's just about, isn't
That's
it just
the point.
Isn't it just about but sharing the biggest moments of you and
honestly,
your wife's relationship and your marriage?
I can share that right after it happens and when everything's fine. No, because I think about this. And this as this was going on. Because it's kind of dark in the room. It's like a big room where they try to make it look like a home the best they can. But it's not. You're in a hospital, right? So
are there paintings on the wall?
Yeah, and there's like it's got light or warm lighting. Okay, there's no real great big fluorescent light bulbs going on. Not until you're really ready to go. Then when she's ready to go, she's in a panic a little bit and she's in a lot of pain. And Liz's epidural didn't go the way that we necessarily wanted it to go. So she's in a lot of pain for that one. And as she's ready to have the kid, everybody comes in. And they're all wearing, it looks like what you would see in ER or Grey's Anatomy or any one of those shows. They're all wearing the gloves and the whole getup, the everything. And I'm just standing there in a flannel shirt, jeans, and boots. And I'm going, I'm standing there, and they're going, well, you're going to have to hold her leg. I go, I understand. I've been through the drill before. And I'm just holding her leg, and I realize I counted. There are seven medical professionals there, including the doctor delivering my child. If something goes bad, I'm only going to make this worse. There's nothing I can do for these people that me being involved there is going to make the situation better. Like, God forbid, something happens to Liz or something happens to the child. On the size of a house, it's basically like having another hospital bed in there.
So you're just in the way.
So I'm only going to be in the way. And then if something bad happens to Liz, I'm just going to start screaming. I'll just lose my mind and I'll make the situation instantly worse than what it was before. I really have no practical purpose as the father whatsoever. I have none. And you think about this. Just wrap your head around this. Ken, you're there for emotional support. You guys are sharing in this together. What if Liz has to go in for a heart surgery or for a head surgery or something like something serious? Do they have me standing there for that? No, they don't do that because that would be idiotic to have a person with absolutely no medical training stand there with being completely unsterilized. I was totally unsterilized for it, standing there with nothing on, no sterilization, and just, well, check that out. Here it is. Like, it's the dumbest thing possible. And we do it in our society, and I don't think we should.
Did they just think maybe you want to be there? There's
witness
an eagerness.
The birth of your child?
Yes, you can say, hey, I was there when you were born.
To do it together?
When you're grounding him for doing God knows what. Well, I was there when you were birthed. So you could just say it.
Who cares?
Oh, I don't. You know me. I don't care about any of it.
I could lie to him. He wouldn't know any better. They're not cognizant of those things. It's an infant.
I was ready to crush you when you told me your opinion before the show, but you make so much sense.
Because it does make sense.
So much sense. I mean, really, the whole hold the leg thing, they're just trying to find something to keep
you
occupied.
Thank you. They're trying to keep me occupied.
They make you feel like you did something.
That's all they
do. Your really only job in there, Ken, is to give Liz a recap because there are things that she's not going to remember about the day.
Exactly.
So you're recapping the day.
I'm the documenter of it.
You are the Ken Burns of your kid.
Thank you. That's basically
do people
what it is.
Videotape any of this?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
plenty of people.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Well, there was a video of the one person.
Yeah, I mean,
video.
That's a snuff film all of a sudden.
There was the.
It's a reverse snuff film, I believe.
It's a little.
People are being born.
It's a little.
It's the sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an odd thing to say over there, Lana. Anyway. Like that, yeah. There was the one that happened about a month ago where the doctors they pulled the baby out and they dropped the baby.
Ooh!
And they were like, oh, the person geez. Was filming live right there, like, oh my god! I mean, hope your kid ends up okay, but
yeah, we have CTE testing already.
You do have documented proof right here. You're gonna make a lot of money. I don't have any sort of. I just try to be practical about the thing. And Liz and I are very practical about these sort of things. And the only reason I'm there is to fulfill the social norms now. We understand in our American society that the father, if he's there, is supposed to be there. By all means, by any means you possibly can, you try to be there. So if you can be there, you're there. And that's the only reason I was there, is so people don't judge. Or I should say the doctors in there don't judge. Other than that, there's really no point. There's no point. They could. I try to be a clean person. They don't know whether or not I wash my hands on a regular basis or any of that stuff. They don't know that. They probably assume I don't. So what's the point? That's all I'm saying.
So you're advocating going forward, no men in the delivery room.
Oh, no, I'm not going to advocate it. I just
it sounds like you definitely did for 15 minutes.
No, because people are going to hear that differently, and they're going to assume what Owen originally thought was going to happen, which is not the truth.
Owen, let Ken spin an awful announcing that he has advocated. Misogynist Ken has advocated that no men should ever be in the
radio dummy.
Yeah, radio dummy Ken Carmen.
Radio dummy wants a cash bar in the delivery room.
Yeah, what the hell?
For practical purposes, it just makes no sense. But other than that, everything went well. We had like one night where we were kind of up with him. But other than that,
it's got to be awesome, though, is it not? You got to feel good right now, no?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Not yet. It doesn't sound like it.
We'll see how it goes.
I'll play this podcast for him on his fifth birthday.
Yeah. Good for him.
The child with no middle name and Ken's miserable already.
He's got a middle name. I'm just not telling you the middle name. That's all.
So proud.
It's Baker.
That is what you did, didn't you?
It's Baker.
You did do that, didn't you?
No, I did not give him the middle name of Baker, for crying out loud.
Every man can, just to further endear himself. You know, I would call my kid Draymond,
of course. The dumbest thing ever, and all these idiots out there. Ken, you got to name your kid Bryce. I'm supposed to sit down and interview this guy and be like, hey, I'm 9 years older than you, and I named my son after you. How about that, Baker, huh? Is that a little bit weird?
Oh, no, I think that would be very weird.
That's probably weirder than wearing his jersey on draft night that was snug a little bit too tight like another one of our hosts did.
Imagine if Ken would have done that after they hired Hugh Jackson. Hugh! Loved Hugh. Loved the hiring.
That kid would get grounded every day.
Oh, my God. Can you even imagine the wrath? Anyway, we've got a loaded show for you today, including your first chance to win $1,000 coming up 40 minutes from now, our national contest. We have had three winners already on this very station. So we look forward to giving you that chance. Also, we have Indians baseball a little bit later on. James Rapine, our Indians beat reporter. Big weekend for the Indians. Was that something that will start to make people think they could get this turnaround, or was it just you were playing a really bad baseball team? But when we come back, Ken disagreed with something we did last week about who the identity of Cleveland could be going forward. We'll get to that next after the update from Jeff Thomas here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, back on 92.3 The Fan. We've got a lot that happened over the last week, and I think like around 7:40, rapid fire, we'll get Ken's thoughts on everything.
I got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things.
You missed a whole week, and I know you're dying to get things off your chest.
And have a lot of takes.
The fans were so upset that I just got to sit here and give out my opinions with no backlash from a host. Because Daryl mostly agreed with almost everything I said. And Jason Lloyd agreed. Really, you're the only one
fest.
Of all the hosts, you're the only one that seems to disagree with everything. I mean, Dustin Fox agreed with almost everything I said last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to hear you out, all right? Because when I heard you, again, I told you, I heard you for a little bit, and then 10 minutes later, I'm seeing everybody calling you names, and it's because you went about it the wrong way. You can't call people stupid.
Oh, yeah.
But I agreed with your original
premise.
Ken off the
air calls so many people stupid.
I call everyone stupid.
Everybody on TV is stupid.
That's not true.
Everybody,
caller is stupid.
No, that's not true
either. Guys, look at this tweet from this idiot over here.
But it's amazing. Cleveland sports fans are immune. Yet the minute he gets out on the road, he's calling everybody stupid.
In general, they are not stupid.
Yes, they are.
There are certain individuals, if I know your name and I go, that's a dumb thing to say. I don't think I want to rope them all together. I wouldn't want to do that. Making rash generalizations, I thought you were better than that. Obviously, you're not, and neither are you over there, lion hair. So I'm not going to sit there and give either of you the time of day. Go ahead with what you want to
say. Most people are too dumb to know how stupid they really are.
So there's guys like Kid who have to tell them that.
Yes.
So go ahead. Tell me what you were going to say here. What's the problem?
So one of the things I think you're going to debate this from some of the general thoughts that I think you have on this. We had Greedy Williams interview last week, and Daryl and I talked to him, and when we brought up Cleveland, what did you first think when you thought Cleveland? This is a young guy in the South. He doesn't know anything about Cleveland, doesn't know that it's the Rock and Roll Hall. He didn't know that ahead of time. He had to look that up. But one thing he absolutely knew, and the first thing to fly out of his mouth was LeBron. And some people got annoyed about that, which I don't understand why. Probably because he's gone, he's not here anymore, but he did something that was amazing for this city. And he is a global representative of this city. People know that in Italy, to China, people know Cleveland, they think LeBron. They really don't think about that much, which to me beats what they used to say, which was mistake on the lake or river was burning, right? Because that was the national thing. Anytime Johnny Carson would talk about Cleveland, he would do that.
Understood.
Now when people talk Cleveland, they think about LeBron James and he won a championship. I asked the question, could Baker ever be that? Nationally, internationally.
And obviously you said no.
Even four Super Bowls, I don't think they're thinking Baker. I think LeBron is a transcendent guy that people around the world know.
See, I think you're wrong. I do think you're wrong on that. And here's a reason behind it, is that I think over time, LeBron's role will change. LeBron will be done being a basketball player. We will fade more and more away from 2016. There will be reminders there, but I don't think he will always be synonymous with Cleveland. I think he'll be synonymous with business. I think he'll be synonymous with the game itself, other charitable works and things like that. His brand as an icon, I think, changes. When I think of Chicago, do I think of Jordan? He spent most of his career there, with the exception of when he came back with Washington. But yeah, I do. But I think that over time, if there was somebody else since then who could provide championships or multiple championships, then I think that changes a little bit. I wonder how many people think Cubs. Maybe they still think Jordan. Maybe they think something else. But I think that if I look at LeBron in 20 years, I think he's much different. I think he's much more of a worldwide icon, and he's not necessarily known as, all right, Cleveland LeBron. I don't think that people necessarily make that connection. Like a guy like Drew Carey. Drew Carey had his whole TV show based around living in Parma, based around being a guy from Cleveland. I think if you ask people about Drew Carey now, I think guys like us know about him being from Cleveland. I bet a lot of people just go, hey, Price is Right guy. Comedian, Price is Right guy. You know, that whose line is it anyway? Price is Right guy. I think that that changes. So if Baker plays for the next dozen years, how much longer is LeBron's career?
2 years.
Give it three more years, right? Just conservatively. If he has three more years, and then he does all these other things in business and in entertainment and things of that nature, and Baker starts winning multiple championships, say he does win four Super Bowls, you just mentioned it, I say that, I think people think, oh, Baker Mayfield. Because his business, what he does, is based around being that icon and being the icon for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I think there is a celebrity that obviously, like, LeBron's been on Saturday Night Live. Will Baker Mayfield ever be on SNL? I mean, maybe if he won a few Super Bowls, that would be the case. But I don't know the fact that LeBron's from Northeast Ohio, and people, the Akron thing gets lost in the nuance. People just say Cleveland.
Understood.
Outside of Ohio.
Yeah,
they just say Cleveland.
Yep.
I think the fact that it's such a storybook, the way that he changed the NBA, for better or for worse, he did so many things. Will Baker ever do all those things? Will he ever wear all those hats? Because it's not just about winning. Winning's a big part of it, but I think there has to be so much more. And you know what? The other thing is, Jim Brown moved to Hollywood. He was an actor. Yet for 20 years, people knew Jim Brown and the Cleveland Browns, for 30 years, for 40 years.
But then something changed. Something else came along. I think that once you wear the hat, you don't always have to wear that hat. You will always be a part of that history, but I don't think you're always the guy who carries that torch. I look at it this way. I think when I think about Boston sports, maybe you think Red Sox, I think Tom Brady, and I would say that before Tom Brady, yes, everybody and their brother would say Larry Bird. Maybe a little bit of Bobby Orr, maybe some of the Red Sox from yesteryear.
But so I think you're saying
say
Baker,
Larry Bird.
What if Baker just wins one Super Bowl? See, I don't think people around the world are going to be going Baker Mayfield. I don't think people ever around the world care about football. I think that's the global, when we say global icon, that I don't think Baker can ever be a global icon, no matter what he does.
I don't think he could be bigger than LeBron. No, you're right about that. But in terms of just what they're known for, I think Baker could look back on it and say that Baker is the guy in Cleveland. People, when they think of Cleveland, think of Baker. LeBron, I think they will probably think of multiple other things other than when they think of Cleveland, they don't necessarily think of LeBron. They think of other things and then, oh yeah, LeBron James. That's my theory on it.
All right, when we come back, I've got a big weekend, especially some good Indians things there in Lima Lakes. Also, did anybody watch the PGA Championship at all? Or maybe we'll talk horse racing. That's coming up next in Lima Lakes right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.